Hi, this is Laura with Kick-Ass in Life, where I help you get hired fast, be smart with money, and be a happier and healthier you. I am a little bit happier now that it's getting a little bit warmer here in New York City. I always love to go out and explore and ride my bike or go hiking or go camping. I just love summer activities so much. And so I'm so happy it's upon us. But that doesn't mean I forget about my job in the office. It gets a little slower. We have summer Fridays, which is really fun. But I'm always sort of having conversations with people, and I hope you are too. And if you're looking for a job, it's still a good time to look. Yes, it gets a little bit slower, but at the same time, now is the time to really work on your relationships with people, still meet them for coffee, do cocktails. People are busier in the summer, so it's harder to meet up. But doing that work of networking, I think, can be super helpful as you kind of gear up and for your job search. And also, whether or not you're looking for a job, it's always good to be connecting with other people. So let me know how you're really enjoying this summer so far. I know it's early in it, but it's also important to think about what you can get out of the summer and whether or not you have any goals. And it can be also like a fun goal, like you want to go out and explore, try something new. There's tons of free workout classes, tons of outdoor activities to explore. So feel free to pick one of those up because it might make you a little happier and healthier. Today, I wanted to share my conversation with Dani Fankhauser. I related so much to Dani's story. So she graduated undergrad during the recession. So she decided to head back to school and go to graduate school and get a degree in journalism. And when she graduated, she, get this, found a job off of Craigslist. And a real job too. So it's pretty fun because you never know where an opportunity will emerge. She's a writer and she published an ebook and is working on her second. She is so into creating opportunities for herself and has a lot of wisdom to share.
It's like you're getting double the experience at once when you're working on that side project. And, you know, especially I think early on, like the types of jobs you have, you're kind of figuring out what you like. And it gives you a chance to do other things. So for example, my startup, I did user acquisition, I did sales, I did marketing, I did partnerships. And so, you know, maybe one of those things would have stuck out and then could be the thing that I pursue in the career too. So it's a great way to experiment with different roles.
We talk about how to land that first job, how to pay off your student loans, how to be smart with the money you're making versus spending, and the value of starting a side hustle with some ideas of how you can start exploring that on your own. It's easier than you think. All right, let's dive in.
Dani, thank you for being on the podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you more about your career path and all the wonderful projects you're working on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So why don't you start with giving us a brief introduction of who you are and what you do?
Totally. Yes, where do I start? So I studied marketing in school originally, then went to get my master's in journalism, wanting to do something with writing, and then did work in journalism for a couple of years, definitely change in the industry at the time. So worked more on the branded content side, working with sales teams on creating content for brands. And then made the switch over to content marketing, working for a software company here in San Francisco. Meanwhile, I had my own startup, a book recommendation startup that I built on the side, which I actually taught myself programming to build that. I couldn't figure out a business plan, so eventually shut that down. And then also wrote my first book and self-published. It's called Shameless, How I Lost My Virginity and Kept My Faith. It's about sex and religion. So between the career and the side projects, I've kind of jumped around a bit between media, tech, writing, all of the things that I love.
I love that. I love the different ways that a career sort of kind of comes together. And for you, specifically to be pursuing the things you're excited about outside of work. But just starting with how did you get your first job? What were some ways that you stood apart in your job process?
Totally. Yeah. And it's interesting. So I first finished college back when we were having a big recession. And so that was really part of the reason that I went to grad school, partly because I wanted to work something writing or journalism related. So wanted to get a degree focused on that. and partly because it was just a terrible time to find a job. So then did grad school, and I looked a lot of places. Obviously, you know, alumni job boards, and ended up moving back to where my parents live, where I grew up. And I actually found that first job on Craigslist of all places.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Which was surprising. But it was a really cool job. It was with a local magazine. And you know, I had just finished my journalism degree. So really interesting work. I ended up not staying long though. I think maybe it's more interesting what I did after that, because my next job after that was an early stage startup, which kind of found by chance through a friend. I had told him at one point I was interested in journalism and social media, and that job ended up kind of launching my career in early stage startups, which I really liked. And then other jobs after that, a lot of them were through alumni networks and, you know, warm connections like that. So it was, I think it was really kind of an outlier that first job really did just come straight through Craigslist.
I like that story, because I think it's like to be open to wherever opportunities can come. And so, you know, looking in those interesting places for jobs like Craigslist or on social media or in different ways, I think is really, really cool. But then also telling people that you're looking. And so being able to find that second job at an early stage startup because you were being honest with people of what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And just knowing, you know, what you're interested in and where you want to go long term.
So you have a lot of experience writing about student loans, which you mentioned you went to graduate school and had some student loans. And I think that that's something that people are sort of dealing with a lot when they are thinking about taking the first job, because they have to pay off these student loans and get this monkey off their back. So what was your approach and how did it work?
Yeah. So, and I think this is such an interesting question that I think about a lot, because it was a really big decision for me to go to grad school, because I didn't have debt after college because my parents were great and paid for that. And so deciding to go into debt, you know, I kind of felt like I had to prove that like this was going to be worth it for me. And it definitely was. I even mentioned like a lot of jobs I've gotten through the network that I made in grad school. So approaching paying off the student loans, I think I went into it with that drive of, you know, I'm going to prove that this degree was worth it for me. I think it definitely did influence the types of jobs that I went for, because I had to, you know, be making enough that I could make those monthly payments. So I think there's two ways you can do it. There's, you know, finding a job that pays you more money, or there's, you know, finding a way to live on less. And so for me, it was always a balance between those two things, where month to month, it was like, okay, can I do some freelance writing on the side? Or, you know, should I think about trying to get a raise or trying to go for a bigger position? And then it was also like, okay, what am I actually spending money on? Do I need these things? You know, can I find an apartment that's less, that costs less, or, you know, find other ways to spend less money?
Yeah, I think that's super critical, especially when you're just getting started. For me, for example, I moved to New York without a job, so I had to find a place that was really affordable to be able to live, so I could stay here and be able to find a job. What were some of your first early lessons when it came to money as you were figuring out how to pay down your student loans as well as live and work in a city?
Yeah. I mean, my earliest lesson was just how much it costs to live. So that first job, I lived with my parents because I had moved back home after school. And that was difficult. I had lived outside of the home for a long time. So I had that feeling of not having the freedom and independence that I wanted. And so I found an apartment with roommates, and between the cost of the student loans, the cost of the apartment, the cost of gas, the cost of food, it was like, for the first time, I kind of like laid this out on an Excel spreadsheet. And I was like, oh, I can't afford this.
Yeah.
I can't afford the basics. So this is a problem. Either I can't stay in this apartment, or I have to get a better job, or I have to find like a second job. And also, like, you know, that definitely didn't leave any space in the budget for something like yoga or, you know, something like that. Like those leisure type hobbies that, you know, I think you really need those for, you know, emotional support. So that was definitely a big lesson and kind of, I mean, forced me to jump to the second job pretty quickly. So I think I was at that first job for 7 months and just couldn't afford to stay there. And then also, be more realistic when I was, negotiating salary and just knowing, cause I think most people, I think a lot of people feel like if you take a job, you can't ask for a raise until you've been there for a year. A lot of companies have that standard. I think it's definitely situational and depends on what the job is. And if your role changes, obviously, I think you should ask for a raise. But yeah, just, you know, having that expectation of like, how much does it actually cost to live and how much do I need to be earning?
Yeah, I think putting it on paper is really helpful because that way you won't go into more debt as you're trying to live your life and do the things that you want to do. And some of those leisure hobbies are really important to you. So finding a way that you can negotiate your salary, or ask for a salary where you can have those and be able to live a full life, I think is really, really important. And also to negotiate your salary and to make that ask. So, you know, oftentimes I think in your first couple jobs, it's like you feel so grateful for having a job, but at the same time, like they spent time finding you. So you need to ask for what you need in order to say yes to that.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And one other thing on negotiation is like, I've heard often that men are more likely to negotiate than women. And so that first job, I actually did not negotiate. I was just like, oh, that sounds great. Never done that again. So even if I'm super happy with what they're offering, I always ask for more. And I think it's just, it's a good habit to have.
Amazing. And so you have a lot of different sort of side hustles and passion projects. You mentioned that you, wrote and published a book, which I think is incredible. And you were doing that sort of simultaneously as holding down a full-time job. Talk me through that, what your process was for how you were able to get that done, both in how you organized your time and how you prioritized what you worked on. Give me a little picture of what that looked like for you.
Totally. Yeah. And I think this is really important because I think of writing as my vocation, my purpose in life. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be the primary thing that I get paid for. And so, you know, that's definitely a professional challenge of what can I do that I get paid for, and how do I, you know, have time to do this thing that's really important to me. So what I've found is that it's difficult for me to be creative and do the kind of writing I want if I don't feel like my basic needs are met. And so that's why I made the choice to have a full-time job where I'm getting paid. I've got health benefits, everything's taken care of. And then maybe I don't have a lot of time, but I can carve out time on the side to do that thing I'm passionate about. So what I did with the book, I had the idea for a long time, and it was early 2017 that I decided this is the year that I'm going to write this. And I found a group here in San Francisco. It's called Shut Up and Write. And it's people get together a couple different days of the week, different parts of the city. But it's usually like 3 hours, and you start out, you go around the group and people say what they're working on. And then you just silently write together. And then at the end, you go around again and you say like how it went. So it's kind of like a emotional support / accountability for writing. And that worked really well for me. I would go to that at least once a week and just got through stuff and got, you know, got the writing done. So yeah, I think having that time set aside and also being outside of the home, because, you know, a lot of other times when I've worked on side projects, it's like I'm home, I could be doing laundry, or I could just be like eating dinner. So it's hard to make the time for it. But I think if you especially set aside a physical space for it, that helps a lot.
I think that's great. Yeah, I published an ebook earlier this year, Kick-Ass in Your Career. And the way that I found, the way that I approached that was to spend like 20 minutes per day writing. And and just the little work that you do sort of consistently, and it doesn't have to be a lot of time, but it was dedicated time that I would do it, and I wouldn't go to bed until I got my 20 minutes in. And usually it was before work, but sometimes it had to be after work. And then I felt good about myself that, okay, I did it. And now I'm going to do another 20 minutes. And yeah, sure, it takes a long time to in little 20 minute increments, but it makes it pretty more manageable than realizing, oh, shoot, I have to write 40,000, 80,000 words by this date. So it's little incremental progress every day.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's so interesting about that is how, especially if you do something like that in the morning, you already feel so accomplished. And then you go into work in this great mood because you've accomplished this other thing. And so I think like the side project actually provides value to your day job as well.
Yeah, I like that. Also, what something Seinfeld said about writing jokes, which I always think about in this process too, was he would make an X on a calendar every time he wrote a joke. And so he had this lovely chain going. And so he didn't want to break the chain. You know, so I think building up that momentum, because you get so much energy from starting something and keeping that momentum going, it's much easier to keep that going as opposed to starting and stopping a bunch of times too.
Totally. That makes sense.
What would you recommend to somebody who's interested in starting a side hustle but doesn't know where to start?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first question is really what you want it to be. I really love everything Elizabeth Gilbert does, and her book on creativity, Big Magic, is really wonderful. And so she has this story about how she came to write one of her books. And her philosophy is this like follow your curiosity. So it's not like she says for everything she's done, it's not like she sat down one day and was like, this is the thing that I'm going to make. But she just at this point had some extra time and decided to plant some plants in her backyard and make a little garden. And so then she got into that. And then, you know, she ends up writing this book that's about I think like a botanist or something like that, something gardening related. But yeah, it's like, it started with like planting a plant, and then she just like really got interested, nerded out on it, and wrote a whole novel about it. And I think that's kind of how I felt with those side projects too, is that there is quite a long list of ideas I have that could be like a screenplay, or it could be a book, or it could be a startup. And it's usually the things that stick with me over time that I keep coming back to that, you know, I finally sit down, start working on it. And eventually, you know, if it keeps coming up for me, then it becomes something that I actually produce.
I like that. And one thing that I've heard that I think can help with that is writing like 10 ideas a day and just getting in the practice of thinking, oh, that was kind of an interesting thing, or this is an idea, and just writing everything down and trying to come up with 10 ideas a day. And then your brain will keep doing the work of marinating and trying to figure out what you are really interested in. So something will kind of rise to the top, and you'll keep revisiting it, like you said, about, oh, that that is kind of interesting. I'm a little curious in learning more about that. And as you learn more, you get more excited about digging in deeper.
Yeah, totally.
And why would you say like creating a side hustle is something that people should do? What's important about it, or what opportunities will it potentially lead to?
Yeah, I think there's so many. I think for some of them, I mean, you know, we've both published books. I think there's the passive income element, which is really cool that, you know, if you can keep doing something like that, whether it's, you know, music or books or art, you know, I think that gives you more freedom to kind of have your own thing that you own. And for me personally, as a very independent type of person, it was fun for me to create something like that I could do from start to finish. And then I think the other side of it, though, is just the experience and how that does support whatever career you have. So like the last time that I was applying for a job, I had I had the jobs that I had in the past, and then I had my startup, which I had done on the side. And the fact that I had taught myself programming was something that kind of made me stand out in the interview process. So, it's like you're getting double the experience at once when you're working on that side project. And, you know, especially I think early on, like the types of jobs you have, you're kind of figuring out what you like. And it gives you a chance to do other things. So, for example, my startup, I did user acquisition, I did sales, I did marketing, I did partnerships. And so, you know, maybe one of those things would have stuck out and then could be the thing that I pursue in the career too. Yeah. So it's a great way to experiment with different roles.
Yeah, I think that's a super smart way to look at it because, yeah, ideally you would be making you know, making money off of your side hustle, but that's not where you start. You start because you are pursuing a passion, something that you're interested in or curious about, but it can lead to so many different types of opportunities. So as you mentioned, you can mention in a job interview. So it just bolsters your experience and, you know, getting a job is tough. So like anything that makes you like a little bit better than that person, that other person that's applying, I think is really valuable. So I think that's great. And as you pointed out, like you'll learn, you're showing how you're self-directed and you're learning and you're the kind of person that will just figure something out. So you'll teach yourself coding, you'll teach yourself how to podcast or create music or whatever it might be, that you're just the kind of person who will sort of like dig in and get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a quality you want in, you know, basically anyone that you're hiring for any job. So,
amazing. So yeah, like what's next for you? How are you kicking ass in your life?
Yeah, great question. Well, I'm personally in a transition. I left my last job about a month ago. And so I'm basically doing all of the side projects. I'm working at a yoga studio. I used to teach yoga. I'm helping out an early stage startup that they're actually self-funded, haven't raised money yet. I'm doing some freelance writing. And so kind of in that phase where I am just figuring out, you know, which of these things appeals to me the most and deciding what to do next. So all those things, plus working on a book proposal for the second book. So the first one is out. It's on Amazon. The second one, I do want to work with a traditional publisher. So created a formal nonfiction book proposal and I'm starting to reach out to some agents for that.
Amazing. Congratulations. I know that's quite a feat. It's almost like writing a book is to write the book proposal.
It's almost the length of a book. Yeah. So yeah.
So good. Okay. So tell people how they can find you.
Yeah. So I'm Dani Fankhauser pretty much everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and so on. And then my book website is shamelessthebook.com. There's also an Instagram for that, which is shamelessthebook. You can also use hashtag shamelessthebook to find out more things about that. And there is a podcast that goes with the book. It's basically about recovering from purity culture. And that is called True Love, No Shame. So definitely check that out as well.
Dani, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. This was fun. Great to talk to you.
You too.
Thank you so much to Dani for the great conversation, and thanks to you for giving this a listen. Here are today's top takeaways. So I loved my conversation with Dani, and feel free to get out a pen or the notes app on your phone to take a few notes on today's top takeaways. Number one, look for jobs anywhere. You never know where the opportunities might emerge. So look on Craigslist, look on social media, look the places other people aren't looking. You might find something really cool. Number two, are you paying off your student loans? What Dani had to say was really valuable in this area, so be willing to make sacrifices. She moved in with her parents. She also tracked her expenses on an Excel spreadsheet and realized she couldn't keep living the way that she was living and something needed to change. So take a look to see if something like that might help you pay off your student loans. Number three, if you're trying to get something done, whether it be finding a job, writing a book, whatever it might be, and you're struggling, find a way to find accountability. So Dani did this by joining a writing group to help her be more productive. And sometimes you just need somebody else to check in with. Number four, are you interested in doing a side hustle? Well, you can totally do it, and it's easier than you think. And I liked what Dani had to say about how it's also a way to look at trying on different roles for yourself. So yes, it'd be a great to make some passive income off of a side hustle, but at the same time, it's a way to explore a little bit of your curiosity and try out roles, and it can help you in your day job. So be open. That's it for today. Thank you again for giving this a listen. If you like this episode, please rate it, review it, share it, recommend it to a friend. It helps others find it. And for a deeper dive, please visit my site, kickassin.life, or my Instagram account, same name, kickassin.life. Feel free to email me, kickassinyourlife@gmail.com, if I can help you in any way. Go kick ass in your life. Until next time.